there. Welcome to, you know what? Musings with Chanel Arigbeshola, the podcast where we endeavor to know better, be better, and do better by examining our lives and the ways in which we navigate the spaces where we find ourselves. I'm your host, Chanel, and I thank you for being here. Before we go any further, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast so that you won't miss any episodes, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Musings with Chanel. Are you about to do that? Good. Hey, 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 it's another week, another Wednesday, and we have made it to episode number 3. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you coping? How are you? So we launched a podcast last Wednesday, and I have been receiving positive feedback from many of you, and I really, really appreciate it. The new episodes are going to be released every Wednesday until we get to episode 10, at which point that's going to mark the end of season 1 on December the 2nd, if all goes well. And if you're listening to the podcast right now on a platform that allows you to leave a review, like Apple Podcasts, for example, then please rate and review the podcast. The more people that review and like the podcast, the more likely it is that we'll get boosted and made more visible to people who don't know about it. Also, if you like what you've heard so far and what you're hearing, then please tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend or a family member about it if you think that they might like the same kind of content. That would help me in a big way. Is that all right with you? Yes? Cool. All right, so let's start this week with a story time. I'm going to tell you about how Bolo and I found out that I was pregnant with Eve and some of the events that led up to that and then the role that my mindset played in that whole situation. So I had already mentioned in the previous episode that David and Eve are roughly 18 months apart, right? Was that planned? Not really. So we knew that we wanted to have another baby, and we wanted that baby and David to be close enough in age that they would grow up together and be relatively close in their developmental milestones. So we were thinking that it would make sense for us to have them about 2 years apart. That was the master plan. And in our mind, we figured, okay, January of 2020 is the target. That's when we would start focusing on having another baby. The math checked out just fine. You know, David would be a year and 2 months or so by then. I would feel like myself again. We liked it. We loved it. And really, once we nailed down the time frame, we didn't think about it anymore. We just carried on with our daily lives and figured we would cross the 2020 baby bridge when we got there. So what did life look like at the time that we made that decision? Well, David was about 10 months old, and he was getting breast milk up until just around that time, right when I decided that I was going to start weaning him off and giving him formula. And it follows that I also decided to stop pumping breast milk around the same time as well. And I guess that's a whole other story on how I was navigating working full-time and pumping breast milk at work 3 times a day while moving meetings around to accommodate my pumping schedule and all that good stressful stuff. Let me know in the comments if you'd like to hear more about that. But anyway, as I was saying, I stopped breastfeeding when he was 10 months old. So that places us roughly in August of 2019. Right around that time, it felt like I was getting my groove back, right? I was there like, okay, I'm starting to feel more like myself again. I'm energized, I'm pumped. So I decided that I was going to do this 21-day workout challenge and get my body back. And I did. And I was feeling fabulous, you know? David was happy and thriving. No more breastfeeding or pumping for me. And man, I just felt so free for the first time since I'd gotten pregnant and started sharing my body with another human being back in like early 2018. I could not believe how energized I felt. And so, you know, we were all happy. We were all on this high. So we decided, hey, let's do a road trip, right? Because David was like a toddler then, and he was more alert and he understood more about his environment. It was just a fun time. So we took David on his first road trip to Atlanta, and we had a great time there. And then the three of us went to New York in early September of, this is all 2019, for my grandmother's 85th birthday. And David got to meet the family, right? So everything was fabulous. I'm feeling good. Bola's feeling good. At this point, David is like a month and a half away from being one. And we're just living life. Sealed in and committed to riding the wave, living in the moment. And I was very clear about what I thought was the fact. It wasn't a fact. That I needed my body to myself for a little while. Bola and I even joked about what would we do if we got pregnant again and how crazy that would be to go back into that entire cycle, right? When we just come out of it. So that's where we were mentally. Are you keeping up with the story? You still with me? Okay, good. So August passed and now we're in September, right? We get back from New York and we were just straight chilling, living life, getting back into our routines. And then out of nowhere, this happened. One night I was sleeping and I'm not sure if I was dreaming or not, but I kid you not. I started receiving thoughts, because I assure you, these thoughts were not my own. They couldn't have been. And the thoughts started, right? And they just kept playing in my head over and over again. Are you curious about the thoughts and what they were saying to me? All right, well, get this. The message I was receiving was that we should have another baby. And that it'll be great, and the baby will be a blessing, and so many doors are going to open up when the baby comes, and stuff like that. And the message was on repeat. You know, like Rihanna, like it was Ponder Replay. So I'm there in bed, right? And I'm thinking, what on earth is this? And I'm processing everything, right? Because I know, like I said, these thoughts cannot be from me. They're not my own thoughts. Because I just stopped being tired like yesterday. I just got my life back. Bola and I discussed it already. And we talked about all the reasons why it didn't make sense, right? So where was this even coming from? So I woke up the next day. And really, I just intended to go about my business because I'm like, I'm not even going to bring this up to Bola because what's the point? Maybe it really was all a dream. So I was there and I was just going about my day. And whenever I would have a moment of quiet or of peace where my mind was just still, the thoughts would pop in again. Like, do it, do it, do it. Have a baby. It's great timing. It's a great thing. It's a blessing. The time is right. Have a baby. And I would try to shake the thought, right? But I couldn't. Then, by later on in the day, I started feeling like, you know what? This could be a possibility. Maybe I should have a baby. But then, on the flip side, I'm like, how would that work? Physically, am I even able to do that when, at that point, I'd had David not even a year before? And I was just so scared of the possibility. But really, the fear was from a physical capacity perspective, as well as me wondering if I actually had the energy that was required to have a baby that quick. I didn't say anything to Bola still at that point. I was just making peace with this very strong message that was now becoming part of my own desires, even though I was afraid, because it started making more and more sense to me the more and more I heard it. And I just couldn't explain like where the feeling or the longing for a baby at that particular time was coming from, because logically, right, I knew how taxing it was. But I kept getting the positive feedback from, I guess, the voice in my head, and I was borrowing faith and borrowing strength from that voice. So I went to sleep again that night. And I think the same thing happened. So the next day I woke up and I was clear with myself. I wanted to have another baby and I wanted to have that baby immediately. But there was a little hiccup there, right? How was I going to break this news to Bola when we already agreed and I had been going so hard about wanting to wait? Remember, we're both newly liberated parents. So I'm there on my own having these obsessive thoughts. And I call them obsessive because they were. And I started plotting and thinking, okay, how am I going to get this baby? What am I going to have to do? And then it dawned on me in the kitchen one day, is this the way women plot when they want to get pregnant on purpose and not tell the man about the plan? Because I'm like almost there, right? So I was really wondering and thinking like, how could I make this happen? So that day, I remember I went to him and I was like, okay, let me break this down for you. And I promise you, before I say anything, that these thoughts are not my own. But they're coming and they're coming strong. right? I said, I cannot get it out of my head because of these thoughts that were given to me, placed in my brain, how much we need to have a baby and how much of a blessing it will be and how the timing is so right. And I'm like, I know this is crazy, but I just know it. I know it. I know it because it was shown to me and it was told to me. I'm like, I know it's crazy, right? Super crazy. But I'm telling you, the thoughts are just there and I'm starting to believe them. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I know it doesn't make sense logically because we had a logical conversation and we already said no thanks until 2020. And I know we're actively trying to not have a baby, right? But dude, this is life. This is what's going on with me right now. And I waited a few days to make sure it's real, 2 days or whatever, to make sure it's real. This is what it is. And so he's looking at me and he was floored, amazed. I could tell he's thinking like, has this woman just lost her mind? Was she not the one that was rejoicing because she didn't have to pump anymore and the breastfeeding portion of it was done and she's so happy to have her body back and now she's talking about like she wants to have another baby. Like I saw all of that in his eyes, right? And, you know, we laughed about it. Me laughing more uncomfortably than him because he's laughing because, yeah, I'm glad we got that out of the way. And I'm laughing because he does not know how serious I am about this. I'm starting to move into like a crazy woman part of it because I was really plotting, how am I going to get this baby? So anyway, we brushed it off, or really I should say he brushed it off, and we're like, okay, next year. Right? And again, like I said, in my heart and in my mind, I knew what I knew and I couldn't shake it. And it's really hard when you're so clear on something in your mind, but then you don't know how to make it make sense to the outside world because you already talked about that before. You already made a case for the opposite thing. So that was interesting, but I'm going to let him have it because he's still moving in the space that we were in. And I just came in there to like shake it up and mix it up. And I can't even explain why. But I just knew that I was sure about this baby thing all of a sudden. So we went to bed and I couldn't shake it. And the next morning I woke up and something told me, you know what, girl, you go and you take that pregnancy test. No idea why I'm taking the test again, because we're actively trying to not have a baby. I did not think at the time anything, but something just told me to go and take the test. And we had a lot of tests in the house because the year before that, when we were trying to get pregnant with David, I was using them a lot just to see if I had gotten pregnant or not. And so I didn't say anything to him. I just got up from the bed and I was a woman on a mission, right? Because I'm trusting what I think I know to be true about this whole situation that came up just a few days before. So I get into the bathroom, I take the test, and you know, sometimes like if you've taken a test before, or if you have a spouse or a girlfriend or whomever, that if you've ever witnessed somebody trying to take a test, you know, it takes a little bit of a while for, you know, like the line to appear depending on the test that you've taken. And nope, that wasn't the case. As soon as I took the test, the second line just showed up and there it was. I was already pregnant. Look at God. So fast forward, you know, Eve's here. She's healthy. She's thriving. She's 5 months old. We are ecstatic to be the parents of two. We realized at that moment that I got pregnant, that what were we even scared of and what were we waiting on, because getting pregnant at that time actually fit our lives much better than if we had wanted to delay it. I love that they're 18 months apart and things are just great with, you know, David and Eve. So why did I tell that story? I told the story because all of the events that led up to me finding out that I was pregnant and being ecstatic about it, but also not being surprised by it, had everything to do with the fact that for the days leading up to taking the test, my mindset was changing. My mind was changing so that I can be in a place where I could better accept the blessing that was coming into my life and kind of be that fertile soil so that all of these good things can grow there. And I thought that was crucial. I remember I was telling it to somebody at work, and he said, "Oh, it's interesting the way that everything happened, because could you imagine if you'd gotten the news when you were still in that space that you can't really handle another pregnancy?" He's like, "You would probably have been like depressed or sad or overwhelmed or something." And I can't help but think that that could have been true. That could have been me. The confidence that I didn't have in myself initially, and the way that I felt like I might not be able to carry another pregnancy so quickly, is the confidence that I really borrowed from, you know, the voice that was speaking to me, or from the thoughts that I felt like weren't my own, because I was borrowing that strength and I was borrowing that faith and I was borrowing that confidence until it became mine. And so whatever was at play was absolutely essential in shifting my mindset so that I would be in the space where I could accept this blessing and this news and everything good that was about to come. Because I believed in it so much. It just really brought into perspective how important your mindset is. Another quick story that I'll give is around how I used to feel years and years ago when I would enter a room and feel intimidated by the people in the room. Right? So I'd enter the room and I would see someone thriving, living their best life. Let's say it's like someone, she's beautiful and popular and all these things that at the time I'm like, "Oh, I'm not those things. Let me just shrivel up in this corner and be invisible." And I realized I don't want to feel like that. And I don't want to be insecure in that way, right? How was I showing up into the space and what's my mindset? So I started doing something way back then that was so uncomfortable in the beginning, but now it just flows naturally. And what I started doing was I started celebrating the people that made me feel uncomfortable, or the people that for some reason triggered my insecurities. And I just started like, whatever it was about them that made me feel small, I complimented them about that thing and I made myself face it to realize that, look, you and that person, independent events, right? Someone glowing and shining doesn't mean that you can't occupy your own space in that same room. And that's when I really started shifting the way that I was thinking about stuff and the way that I was approaching people and my own feelings and looking at my own self-worth, to realize that self-worth is self-worth. Doesn't really have to do with anyone else entering or leaving whatever room that you're in. And that's when I really became an advocate for people and for women. And I'm that girl that I see random people on the road and I just give them compliments and I engage them in conversations. And now it comes so naturally to me. But once upon a time, it was so hard to see someone and say, "I really love your hair." And the reason why that was hard is because I would see like her hair looking fabulous and I would think, "Oh my God, look at my hair. I wish I could have that kind of hair. That's why she's so great." But now I like to give that power to the person and also give power to myself to realize, you go over there and that thing that's making you uncomfortable, you tell her a good thing about it. And then you go back to where you were standing before and you will still feel good about yourself because you're you and she's her or whatever it is. And that shift in my thinking and in my process just changed my entire life, right? And I'm grateful for it. So with that being said, two stories, and both of them had to do with the way that I'm processing things that are, you know, in my life. So let's get into it. What are we actually talking about this week? And I got it. I have the topic. This week's topic is, dun, 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 dun. You know what? Your mindset is controlling more than you think. All right, so before we dive into all the things, mindset is the word of the day, and it's definition time. So New American Oxford Dictionary defines mindset as the established set of attitudes held by someone. Fair enough, right? Webster defines it as a mental attitude or inclination. And let's throw a third definition in there. Cambridge Dictionary defines mindset as a person's way of thinking and their opinions. So what I'm going to do now is restate this week's topic, which is your mindset is controlling more than you think. And I'm going to replace the word mindset with those three definitions, just so that we can digest it in a few different ways. So one, the established set of attitudes that you hold are controlling more than you think. Two, your mental attitude or inclination is controlling more than you think. Three, your way of thinking and your opinions are controlling more than you think. I've been thinking a lot lately about quality of life. What is a good life? What makes a good life? What does it mean to be fulfilled? Who are we when we're most centered? Who are we when we're off balance? How powerful really is our mindset? How much control do we really have over our lives and our days? Now, I know we can't control everything that happens with everyone at every minute, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our approach to life and our approach to taking control of our own happiness, our way of thinking, our opinions, our default disposition, the lens that we see our lives through, the lens that we see others with. How powerful are we really? And how much influence do we have on the quality of our existence? When we're faced with good news, when we're faced with bad news, adversity, what's the approach that you take? And why do you choose to navigate in the ways that you do? Have you ever noticed that once you agree that your day is not going well, things tend to kind of go downhill from there? And the moment you decide, you know what, today's going to be a good day, that somehow you're able to shake off all of the parts of your day that are not desirable and you move on to enjoy the rest of it. It's kind of like bad news comes here. You're like, I'm not going to deal with that. Someone annoys you over there. You're like, not today. What is it that allows you to be able to say not today and move on and focus on the bigger, brighter, better picture? How do you manage to do that? Because you made up your mind, right? Okay, let me start by saying, I know this is not that easy to just make up your mind and follow through. But I realized a long time ago that I have to be intentional about my life, about my actions, about my day, about my way of being. I've found that living with intention and trying to be present in each moment of life leads to more fulfillment and more happiness than when I was not approaching life that way. And this may sound kind of dark, but I think a lot about the way that everyone's going to die one day. We don't know the day. And I know that the only thing certain from the day that you're born is that there's a timer on your life and every day you're getting closer and closer to not being here anymore. And I've made peace with that, but it kind of attaches a different kind of urgency for me to how well I want to live my life and how I want to navigate and how I want to show up, because I'm fully, fully aware that I don't know when will be my last day, but I want all of my days to be impactful in some way. And that's work, right? Because you have to be accountable. It takes an investment of time and of energy to tune into yourself and your way of being. And I don't even know that as human beings, you could ever be perfect or fully understand even ourselves. But to me, it's necessary work. It's work that has to be done. And it's hard work too, because some days you just want to be mad. Like, let me be mad for an hour. Let me feel sad for a night. I just want to sit in my feelings. And that's a part of it too. But I think the fact that we are mere mortals is what helps me to just get it together, work through those feelings, and get to the next thing. Use that as fuel for where I would like to go in my life. This precious, precious thing call life that, you know, we only have X amount of time, and it's the biggest mystery because we don't know how much time we have. And I think about the power of a made-up mind. And then I consider a made-up mind that has a healthy approach. A made-up mind that's fond of visualizing success, right? Your own success. Then I consider that mind, with that mindset, working towards a goal or facing adversity or dealing with unforeseen circumstances. And it's clear to me that the person with that mind would already be positioned for success. You would already be on your way to whatever it is that you're trying to do, wherever it is that you're trying to go. And sometimes, in order to get where you have to go and walk into that blessing and enjoy the next season of your life fully, you need to have the right mindset. You need to have the right mindset to see where you need to go, to be strategic, to make the necessary moves. Your mind needs to be right. You need to be vibrating at the right level, higher. You need to play a part in creating the kind of fertile ground that you want for everything and all of your dreams and all of your hopes and all of your aspirations to thrive. And sometimes, like in the case of, you know, me finding out about Eve, you might get a nudge that'll help to take you in the right direction so that you can elevate your thinking and vibrate higher and modify your approach so that you are prepared for all the good things and all the blessings that are coming your way. So I have a few questions. How is your mindset serving you? What's your approach to life? What tends to be your first response when good things happen? Are you able to sit with it and enjoy the moment? Are you nervous about the moment being stolen? Do you just pretend that it isn't happening so that you won't feel bad because you know the moment's going to pass? Like, what do you do? And then I'd like you to think about, why do you do what you do in that moment? Then now, or next, if you will, consider what tends to be your first response when not so good things happen. Bad things, sad things, depressing things. Are you surprised when they happen? Do you find that you usually brace yourself for bad things to happen anyway, so you're not that surprised? Do you have an expectation that things will fail and that bad things will happen? Are you able to sit with whatever it is that's happening and then later move on? Or do you dwell for a really long time? Does it ruin your entire day, your entire week, your entire month, and cast a shadow over everything else? Think about how you respond to the events in your life. Is your mindset working for you, or is it working against you? Are you positioning yourself for success? Do you even believe that you are deserving of good things? Are you actually ready to receive the good things that are meant for you? Your mindset is controlling more than you think. Whether it's the state of your marriage, your parenting, your job, your relationships, your friendships, how you navigate family members, how you navigate strangers, your core values, where you get your validation from, your insecurities. Your mindset is controlling more than you think. I know that there are lots of questions that I've posed so far. And really, this episode is not really for me to say to you what to do or what to think. It's really to get us all thinking about our lives, thinking about the ways that we're being, thinking about the fact that our time here is limited, our days are numbered. And sometimes a lot of the things that we hold on to are just a total waste of time. But when we decide to be accountable for our actions and our feelings and our mindset and how we approach things, it's rough. Accountability is rough. I like to think about my relationships and I say to myself, if I were to pass away or that person were to pass away unexpectedly, would I be happy and at peace with myself about the way that I chose to exist in that relationship? Would I be happy with what I just said? Would I be happy with what I didn't say in my personal life? Would I be happy with what I didn't do? Would I be happy that I invested this amount of energy in this situation when I have only these number of days on earth? And I could have been using that time and that energy for something else that brought more value. Our mindset truly is influencing so much. And we have the power, right? Our mindset shouldn't be controlling our lives. Like, we should be controlling our mindset so that it can serve us. Because the way that we have our mind, the condition of our mind, the way that we choose to think and be and our attitude, it colors the way that we see the world and people and ourselves. It can serve us, or it can make life that much more difficult. Whenever I'm faced with challenges, I like to think about what I'm doing in the moment. I know everyone else, you know, the person could be dead wrong or whatever it is, and I could blame everyone else if I wanted to. And that's valid, but that's separate. What am I doing? If I notice that I feel off balance and I don't feel centered and I don't feel calm, then that's an invitation for me to explore whatever the stimulus is that's causing me to feel that way, because I don't want to exist in that space, because I am here to thrive and to be happy and to move past those moments. So the sadness and the challenges and anything really that might be perceived as negative, right? I embrace those emotions because I understand that I have to go through them to get to the other side, the brighter thing, the greater thing. And that's just my disposition. Feel all of your feelings, but be committed to working through them to get the lesson, get the next thing. And then your life is going to be that much better. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you look back and you were sick and then you make it through and you're like, oh, it was good that I was afflicted because I was able to see this, 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 and that, and I'm able to move and exist in a different mental space in my life, in a different spiritual space in my life, right? I'm able to rise above certain things because I've taken the lessons that have been shown to me and the challenges that have been brought to me, and I've been able to use that to improve who I am as a person and to help me bring value to the rooms that I enter, right? So with all that being said, I'd like to leave you with this. You cannot miss a blessing that's meant for you. No one can steal a victory that's meant to be yours. An opportunity cannot be stolen from you if it was intended for you. Get your mind right. Get your mindset right. See yourself winning and thriving, and then do the work to get there. Take control of your days and of your happiness, because only you are responsible for your happiness. No one can make you happy. Nothing, no material thing can make you happy. No amount of outside validation can make you happy. That's an inside job, happiness. Pay attention to what life is showing you at each step of the way and adjust where you need to. Take control of your life. You control your mindset so that your mindset can work for you. So yeah, I think that's the message for this episode. If you're still here, I appreciate you. Leave a comment to let me know what you think. And remember to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. Please like and follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Musings with Chanel. And if there's a topic or a question that you'd like me to explore, then don't hesitate to send it over to me. You might just hear me talking about it in one of the episodes. Alrighty then. That's it for now. Stay blessed. Keep up. Get your mind right. And take care. Until next episode.